Up again. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the ebook series. And I'll explain what that is in a moment. But first, we're going to begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, just a joy to be back together again. As you probably are aware, we took about 11 or 12 days off. First time we've taken off about 6 or 7 years since we began these cenacles. And it's basically like a quasi-family reunion. And we got to spend time together. And I think the one thing that I realize and recognize, and I think we can all use this in our vocation as we are in the world, but not of the world. There's not always going to be a time to bring up the divine will. Many are not going to understand it. Some don't even want to hear it. But like St. Francis once said, preach always and sometimes use words. If they see a change in us, I think they're going to recognize that there's something different. And of course, that may prompt them to open the door. Hey, what's going on? You seem so peaceful. You seem so happy. Don't you know what's going on? And then perhaps that's the door that cracks open and you can begin explaining and introducing the divine will. And even if you don't have that opportunity, remember what Jesus says. As long as you're possessing it in whatever capacity, you bring the divine will to each and every environment that we visit. We bring it to those souls that we are in contact with at that time. It's always here. It is everything. It's that big snow globe that has all the moving white particles. We and everything else are those white particles. We're really stuck, but for a good reason. We're stuck in this globe. We're stuck in this divine will. And we're recognizing that's the only place we have to be, we need to be, and we should be. And I just think that was my little short reflection. But before I forget, because my mind is like a sieve, it got no better over the 10 or 11 days, I'm going to introduce Maureen. Let me unmute Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody. Good to be back.
It certainly is. And if you sent me an email in the last week or two and I haven't responded, I beg for your patience. I came back to you. I was just sporadically opening email, not like I usually do, but I came back to about 1,288 unopened emails.
Oh my God.
So I'm going through them, and hopefully this weekend I can get to the large majority of those, and I will respond, I promise, when I get to it. This is the ebook series, and for those of you joining us for the first time, what we do is we take Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. And what is that? Well, basically back in 2000 or 2001 or so, Father Iannuzzi was asked by the Archbishop of Corrado to translate the volumes from Italian to English, because again, Father's fluent in both languages. He's also fluent in Hebrew and Greek. And he did so. And he was so enamored by what he read and the deeper he went into it, as he opened up those lights, every time we read a word, Jesus says a light opens up, and then that light opens up another light, and it's contagious. he decided to use the writings of Luisa for his doctoral dissertation, for his doctorate degree in mysticism. And he set out to prove that everything that Luisa penned, everything that she wrote, that Jesus dictated, that Mary dictated, was proven and ground to be in our Catholic faith. He set out to prove that this is Catholic. In fact, it is the most Catholic thing there is. And then he successfully defended that with high accolades at the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. So they gave the stamp of approval on everything he wrote, all the translations, his summaries. And what he did in this dissertation is he summarized a lot of the components of the Book of Heaven into sort of themes, we'll call them. And then he drives us into the volumes where we have the opportunity to have Jesus and Mary explicate them, further understand them, corroborate them, prove that the summary is correct, because the summary is just based on what Jesus dictated and Mary dictated. So we're really blessed to have this. And to have it at this time too, with the delay on the critical edition, because there are some ambiguities. Nothing wrong with the writings; everything has been approved, so to speak. But there are some things that the Church cannot explain within its Catholic doctrines. It's having a bit of difficulty for that, some quagmires. So they need a theologian who's well-versed in English and Italian, a theologian, someone who's grounded in mysticism, that can explain from a Catholic perspective and for the laity, not just for the hierarchy, what is this gift of living the divine will? They haven't found that theologian, but I kind of guess who would be the perfect fit for that, Father Annuzzi. So we pray that they ask Father at some point in time. But on the flip side of that coin, remember also there's always a greater good on both sides. This delay is giving us an opportunity. An opportunity for what? Well, an opportunity to grow deeper into this gift of living the divine will, really in faith. Because I have to believe once the Church gives its final approval and is able to explain it through the Church, some of that faith that we possess today, we'll have to convert to obedience. We'll have to believe it because the Church says we should believe. Right now, we're believing it because we trust God. We trust Jesus. We trust His Blessed Mother. We trust Luisa. And we need to trust each other as we go along this journey, because there's a whole lot of chaos and confusion in the world. And Jesus says it's just because the renewal is about to happen, this vast renewal that's going to change the face of the earth. So there's a bunch of confusion. Everyone's jockeying for position, so to speak. And there's a bit of confusion too in the divine will. But don't be dismayed. And that's why I think Father had to send out that that communication. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago that we sent on behalf of Father to explain that if somebody opposes the divine will, again, we're not to get into a fight with them, but they don't know. I mean, Jesus said that on the cross, right? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. There are some priests, there's some deacons, there's some sisters. There are some other superiors who are blaspheming the divine will. And again, we're not to let that daunt our enthusiasm or squash our fire. But in certain instances, we have to speak the truth. We have to clarify things on and for the benefit of others. And that's what we're doing, little by little, bit by bit. So never a dull day in the divine will, that's for sure. I know Morgan would agree with that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to begin, and just as we always do, a little bit of an analogy of what the divine will is. The divine will is one massive cog, and with any cog, there's a main motor, there's a main drive, a main energy, something that moves all the other cogs. And of course, we know who that is. That's God. And now what God is doing is He's calling a select few, not because they're good people or great people or holy people. Maybe on the contrary, that's why He called us, the bottom of the barrel. But He's calling these few people to become intimate with Him to the point that it's never actually been that intimate relationship before. I mean, of course, it was with Adam. It was with Eve. Of course, our Blessed Mother enjoyed that. But He's bringing us there so that we may draw from Jesus, accept the graces, raise the bars, let the dam open so that the flood waters may come out and drown us in love. And that's what he's doing. And then we, in turn, will do the same as we pass it down to the other cogs. We're all cogs. We're all equal cogs. No greater cogs here. But again, these few have been called to take and to give. And what's freely given, we give freely. At least we try to. If you want to have a much more articulated explanation of what I just rambled on, you may find that in the words of Jesus in Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. In fact, maybe one day we'll, Maureen will have a short session just on that reading, because I don't think we've ever really dissected that and broken that down. It's beautiful. It really explains it in a very succinct fashion as to what God is doing. And it's really, it's astonishing that he's chosen us to recognize this gift. He's given us a mystical gift. And we realize and we know that mystical gifts are not given equally, not like our baptismal gifts. Mystical gifts are given unequally to whomever God pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. And he gives it in the aspiration that he's going to be able to give more. But we need to accept it. We need to digest it, masticate on it, chew it, and then swallow. And then, like a baby, we're ready to receive more food, spiritual food. It's beautiful. It's all here. So it doesn't matter what happens in the world. Things are going to get much, much worse. I really have a feeling they are going to. It's like a yo-yo. Once you release the yo-yo from your hand, until that yo-yo hits the bottom, the string fully extends to the bottom, it cannot come back up. So we pray for that bottom, and we pray for that bounce. And we know that we will be there with our Lord, with our Lady, because we want to be, because we have to be, and because we're going to be. It's so beautiful. So we are on 5.3.7.1.1, the elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. And again, I say that last name cautiously because I don't pronounce it very well, but Maureen does. And we're going to take the entire passage, the summary, again, and then we have footnotes here that Father, again, drives us into the volumes to corroborate what his summary explains. And we'll go through it, and then we'll come back to where we're beginning today, which is on footnote number 274. So I'm going to bring the pointer out, Maureen, so I can remember where I am or where we are. I know you know where you are. And we can begin.
Okay. 5.3.7.1.1, Elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. Noteworthy is P.G. Renzi's application of the Maximian divinization that is realized in man, and that is unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. In presenting Maximus's preliminary stage of man's potential being that is situated in the mind of God, to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, P.G. Renzi's lays the foundation for Maximus's final stage of man's transformation of being into eternal being that occurs with the consent of his free human will. This transformation is an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. Similarly, Louisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces that impart to his soul continuous growth, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. God's eternal being and operation, which alone brings about in man the continuous link of the eternal with the temporal, whereby the one is multiple and the multiple is one, is rediscovered in Louisa's text, where the continuous cooperation of prelapsarian Adam's being with the divine will of God's being forged the bond, the union of the one in many. Through Maximus's theology of divinization and Louise's theology on the gift of living in the divine will, there emerges the reality of the human creature becoming by grace what God is by nature.
And we pretty much scratched the surface on that. Again, the application of the Maximian divinization, taking man, potential being, transformation from being into eternal being, returning us to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, the prelapsarian heir of Adam, to bring us back just before Adam sinned. That communion, that relationship, that fusion of wills that we're going to enjoy, that we're beginning to enjoy right now. Not fully and not continuously, but we are receiving it. Father Anisi speaks about this, and I think Father Soso touched on this as well. Jesus talks about four stages in the divine will, but in each one of those stages, there may be a trillion different levels. And again, we're going to be just graduating from one class to the next class, the next class. And it says it's going to appear as if the classes will never end. They really will not ever end. This is what we're going to be doing here on earth. And we're actually practicing what we're going to be doing in heaven, learning more about God, in turn, loving God more. And of course, the ultimate, which is serving God. And that was our catechism, to know God, to love God, to serve God. And now we know that the best way to serve God, the whole way to serve God, is to fuse our human will with God's most holy divine will, to allow the divine will to sort of drive the car. And we go to the back seat, as opposed to putting divine will in the back seat and we drive ourselves off the cliff, which we usually do. So that's what's happening. And that's what's happening with unheard of and long chains of graces. Again, we went through those lessons where Jesus explained to us on our level, of course, where we can understand what are unheard of graces. Well, they're unheard of. Okay. It's just for God to explain to us. And he does that through those lights. And the lights that he gives us are the grace of understanding. It's the language of heaven being taught to us. It's not another vernacular. It's not German, French, or Italian. But it's an understanding of what God is using. He's using our vernacular because that's what we can understand. And he's taking that to another level. It's sort of like meditation. When meditation reaches its height and its limit, we pray for the grace of contemplation that God will give us if we ask for it, and if we deserve it, of course. And then that takes our meditation to a whole different level. It opens a whole lot more doors, a deeper understanding into that language of heaven, that understanding that Adam had, that Eve had, and that we're going to have. It's going to happen. He says it's going to happen with or without us, and we hope it's going to be with us. Because again, he's called a few souls to get really, really intimately close with it, to learn these secrets. And secrets, you know, in our vernacular, a secret is sort of like a nefarious word, like a secret's a bad thing. No, a secret, our Blessed Lady explains, I think it's in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 16. She states that a secret is a need of the heart that is ready to accept it. So God says we're ready now. The time is now. And he's put us in this place, in this era, in this year, in this mode, to love him, to serve him, and to be guided by him. It's all so beautiful. And it's all in front of us for the taking. Okay, so we're on footnote number 274. And just to bring us up to speed on that, it would be the, I guess I'll have to read the whole thing. God's eternal being and operation, which alone brings about in man the continuous, keyword, continuous link of the eternal with the temporal, whereby the one is multiple and the multiple is one, is rediscovered in Louise's text where the continuous operation, that's the fullness of it, of prelapsarian Adam's being with the divine will of God's being, forged the bond, the union of the one in many. And Father Anisi then takes us to footnote number 274.
December 25th, 1928. The feast which the little daughter prepares for baby Jesus. How she renders him happy. Adam, first son. Example of the artesian. I was thinking about the birth of baby Jesus, and I prayed him to come to be born in my poor soul.
Okay, we remember when Father Celso explains to us that we can be anywhere. The gift of bilocation is not exactly the limited bilocation of the saints being in two places or three places at one time. But the bilocation here is not only being in a place, but it's sort of like a transporter. It's through the bilocation, God gives us the grace, the gifts, the truths, the knowledges. And we do have the ability because, again, in the eternal now, in the one act, there is no time. There is no space. So where we are is the birth of Jesus. Where the birth of Jesus is the wedding of Cana. Where the wedding of Cana is creation. It's all enclosed in one. All separate, yet all one. And to re-enter into that oneness gives us the opportunity to enjoy all of what God has done and to be with all of who God is. I think it's beyond our understanding at this time. And that's why I think we really have to be guided as we journey with the motto, Jesus, I trust in you, from Divine Mercy. It's sort of like, I love you, Jesus. I trust you. I know what you say is going to happen. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. I give you my all. Then watch what he does. And I can guarantee that if you say that, if you really mean that, he's not going to make you wait to prove what he's doing. He's going to give you something quickly, and you're going to recognize it. You're going to say, uh-oh. So be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. In this case, we want to get it. I think that's all I want to say. Maureen, anything? Again, Maureen, please just.
Well, I think a lot about when you're in first grade and you memorize those beautiful, what we didn't appreciate it then, catechism questions. And we did it because we were told to and we are obedient, but we didn't quite understand. And sometimes when I'm reading the Divine Will, I believe and I read them, I don't understand it all, but I know it's good. And that someday, just like now, when I look at those catechism questions, I say, wow, that was really profound. That's going to happen with this too, because we can't expect to get everything and understand everything heaven is giving to us. So we have to be patient and be obedient. And like Jesus says, get out of the way and let him do. We don't have to know everything. We, especially Americans, we want to know everything. And it's something that maybe you can't explain to somebody right away. You know, we want to read a book and say, oh, you should hear what I just read. And you like to tell people, because then you feel like, you're somebody. You read this, it's really good, now you're spreading it. But you can't really do that with the Divine Will. I mean, I can't yet. Because it takes time. It's something different than we've ever experienced before. So I'm learning a lot of lessons just in the reading of it. It's divine. And that's why it's different.
Yeah, the Archbishops of Corrado said, study. Put this into practice. Share with each other. But don't be disappointed if the vast majority do not understand or do not want to understand. Because Jesus says, for someone who does not understand the gift of divine will, it's because they don't have the true desire to understand it. It's sort of like Pilate. When he was asking Jesus questions, he really didn't want he wasn't waiting for the answer. He was sort of asking a question and answering his own version of it. That's why Jesus was quiet. But to those who really ask the question and want to know, he promises that he will give us that understanding. And again, it's going to be in his time. It's not going to be in our time. Right. But again, I can guarantee we're going to begin awaking in the morning, and we're going to have these epiphanies. We're going to have these understandings. We're going to have this full breath. You know, you talked about, all this being new. It's new, but yet it's always been there. Again, we go to Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism, which states, although there are no new public revelations that are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for whatever has already been given to us to be better understood.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And Father Nuzzi, again, I've mentioned this many times on air. I'm sorry if I'm sounding like a broken record, but it's a great analogy. It's as if the Catholic Church was a flower. And we've been looking at this flower for 2,000 years. We memorized it. We know exactly the beauty of it. But now comes the divine will. And it's as if somebody's given us a magnifying glass. This is the divine will. Now we look at that same flower. And wow, now we can see the fuzz on the petals. I can see the photosynthesis. I can see some freckles. All of this was always there, but we couldn't see it. And Jesus knew that. There's much more I have to tell you, but yet you are not yet disposed, he told the apostles. He's disposing us now. He's giving us everything that he has. And that's why he says, open your heart. Give me capacity. Expand that void. Let me expand that void and you fill it with me. That's the secret. It really is. It's beautiful.
It is. Okay. And in order to sing his praises and form a cortege for him in the act of his birth, I fuse myself in the holy divine volition and flowing in all created things, I wanted to animate the heavens, the sun, the stars, the sea, the earth, and everything with my I love you. I wanted to place all created things as though in waiting in the act of Jesus' birth, so that all would say to him, I love you, and we want the kingdom of your will upon earth. Now, while I was doing this, it seemed to me that all created things would come to attention in the act of Jesus' birth. And as the dear baby came out of the womb of his celestial mama, the heavens, the sun, and even the tiny little bird, as though all in chorus were saying, I love you, and we want the kingdom of your will upon earth.
Either, I think, is I love you. The I love yous are really what our job is all about. Adam's job was to go about creation, around creation, giving his thanksgiving, his I love yous, I bless you to God for all that he has given him. Remember, creation was created for man. Man wasn't created for creation. So God has given us innumerable reminders, for lack of a better word, in every aspect, whether we're outside, indoors, sleeping, in the kitchen. God is giving us reminders all around us to acknowledge him, because everything has come from him. Everything we have and everything we don't have, which we don't need, has come from him. So to remember that and to acknowledge that, I think is really one of the keys to the early happiness, because you realize then it's fiat to everything. And that's another thing that I did not understand at first when Father Celso would say, it's fiat to everything. What do you mean fiat to everything? You mean when I fall down and break my leg, it's fiat? Well, yeah, because God's permissible will is such a mystery that we don't know what. God only allows certain things to happen that we consider bad, at least initially. He doesn't allow that to happen unless he's going to come about with it a greater good. And I can just speak for myself. When I was in that near-death accident back in 2017, where 97% of the people that are in that kind of accident die on the scene, and I almost did. And my rehabilitation between 3 months in the hospital and 6 months at home, that was time that I would not have had an opportunity to grow closer to God, to speak to God, to speak to his Blessed Mother, and to, most importantly, learn about the gift of the divine will. That was like 9 months, maybe not in the hospital, but surely the 5 or 6 months at home with nothing to do but be in bed. I just read, I just listened. And again, if it were not for that accident, I wouldn't have come to recognize, at least to the little extent that I did, what this gift is about. And then to say, like Matthew, you know, when Jesus, it's almost like Jesus saying, come follow me. And like Matthew didn't ask any questions. He just dropped everything. He had a great job, Matthew. He just left everything and followed Jesus. That's what the divine will does too. Again, it doesn't mean we give up our responsibilities and just, you know, like let people starve and, you know, don't go to work for our family. That's not what I'm saying. But this becomes the umbrella for our entire life. And if it's an umbrella, it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. We're going to be dry. God keeps us safe. He says that. I think it's in, I think I have it here. You know, the chastisements, many mystics have noted that they're coming. Jesus explains it too. We know two-thirds of humanity will perish. But in the dissertation on page 415, and again, this is not why we're journeying in the divine will, but it's just nice to know as we get involved in these things that could become nerve-wracking, but we should not be nervous. On page 415, this is from volume 11, May 18th, 1915. Quote, the divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Again, here's that living in my divine will. It doesn't mean those living fully in my divine will. We could be living the divine will in our journey. Again, those four stages with a trillion mini minor stages within the stage. It doesn't matter where we are. As long as we're not content where we are, we want to grow, of course. And we want to be there. It's like being in a big storm and you find this open house and just the foyer is open and you're able to get into the foyer. We're happy. We're out of the storm. Yeah, granted, the foyer doesn't have a restroom, it doesn't have a kitchen, doesn't have a bed, but God's allowing us into that foyer. Now it's up to us. Do we want to explore? Let's see the basement. Let's see the second floor. Let's see the third floor. And then in that house, everything is veiled. It's as if the occupants left and they just threw sheets over all the furniture. Our work is now to uncover everything that's in that room, to recognize, under this sheet is a bed. Under this sheet is a dining room table. Under this sheet is this or that. Everything we need, but we need to get in the foyer. And we get in the foyer by giving our commitment to God. Again, I forget the volume, Maureen, maybe you know it, but Jesus says, if you desire this gift and you're in the state of grace, I guarantee you will receive it. Jesus doesn't make false promises like we do. If we desire it, how do we desire it? Well, there's only two ways. Well, one way, it's knowledge. It's either knowledge that we obtain through what God has given us, the volumes, the Virgin Mary, the Kingdom, the Hours of the Passion, all the cenacles with Father Celso, Father Nuzzi, Father Gabriel. Or God can just give us that knowledge through spiritual gifts. Now that happens less frequently, of course, but it can happen. So we have to be careful also not to fall into the trap of Gnosticism. We can't say, well, unless you have the volumes, you can't get the gift. That's untrue. And even to the extent of if we have a little bit of knowledge, there's general knowledge. And there's particular knowledge, which we're trying to incorporate now through the vehicle of the cenacle such as this, both of which can obtain the gift for us if God so chooses. But because he's placed these volumes in our midst, because he's given us these beautiful souls, Father Celso, Father Anuzzi, Mother Gabriel Marie, Father Young, Father Brown, those that have passed also, we're expected to use them. Let's be careful not to limit God. Yeah, we can have our favorites. Oh, I resonate better with Father Celso. I understand Father Anuzzi better. I like listening to Mother Gabriel. That's fine. We can have our favorites. But don't discount everything that God has given us, because every one of those beautiful souls bring a slightly different perspective to the divine will. Not a different understanding, a different perspective. They've gotten there through a different route. Same home base, but they got there differently. And we can learn by each of that. And we can probably incorporate a bit of all of them in our own little journey. I'm sure each one of those experiences that all the fathers and sisters and mothers have had, to a certain degree, we've experienced also. And that's why it's important to share with each other. And again, some people say, well, I can't teach the divine will. We're not teaching the divine will. We're sharing our experience. What we need to do, though, is when we come to something that is ambiguous, something that we don't understand, something that we're in a bit of a quagmire about, that's when we have to go to Father Celso, to Father Anuzzi, to Mother Gabriel Marie. And we do that. And we do that. But we have to journey on our own. We have to have our own footprints. We have to look through that forest, look for those breadcrumbs, because God has given us that breadcrumb trail to take us exactly where we need to be. But he wants to see if we have the desire to look for those breadcrumbs. Are we hungry for that journey? Are we hungry for that path? Or are we just going to wander like we are now? It's really all here for us. And it's really not that. It's difficult, but yet it's not difficult. The difficulty is just allowing God to work. And like Maureen said, to get out of God's way. Because it's like God is very, he's a gentleman. If we're both speaking at the same time, God is going to be quiet. He's going to let us ramble. So actually, sometimes it's better to be quiet and to allow God to speak, because we can learn a lot more from him than you can from me or anyone else. Well, maybe not anyone else, definitely from me. Okay. With that being said, I think I'll stop rambling. Okay. Where are we?
Okay. May I love you in the divine will flowed within all things in which the divine will had its life, and therefore all sang praises to the birth of their creator. And I saw the newborn baby who, flinging himself into my arms, all shivering, told me, what a beautiful feast has the little daughter of my will prepared for me. How beautiful is the chorus of all created things saying to me, I love you, and wanting my will to reign. One who lives in it can give me anything and can use all stratagems in order to render me happy and make me smile, even in the midst of tears.
Yeah, Maureen, this reminds me, just this last Thursday on Radio Maria, again, I was looking for a theme, because again, everything is related. No matter what passage we read in the divine will, it's all related to any themes that are in the divine will, some way or some shape or some form. So I was on my desk and I saw this page that was sort of out of its volume. It's a page and it's got the perforated holes, and I'm saying, well, how did this get out of the volumes? Because we have all the volumes printed. This from volume 18. So I started to read it and I said, my goodness, we're talking always about what God is giving us, and for good reason, because he's given us unheard of graces, prodigies of prodigies. I mean, there's nothing greater. There's no greater vocation, Jesus tells us, I think, in volume 9. So again, we're enamored with what God is giving us. But in this passage in volume 18, it explains what God is expecting from us. Yeah, of course, he's expecting a thank you and I love you. But how exactly is he looking for that? What form? What text? And that's what this... In fact, Maureen, not to put you on the spot, but I was thinking to myself just moments ago, why don't we schedule a program, maybe 90 minutes, on this volume 19, volume 18, August 9th, 1925. We'll schedule 90 minutes. We'll sort of do it in the same format as we do this ebook series, where, you know, you'll articulate it. We'll share some little comments and reflections that we have. And then we can open up the microphone to anyone mm-hmm. else that would like to also add how it's touched them. Yeah. So why don't we do that? And why don't we do that very soon? So Maureen,
okay.
I mean, you know, a couple of days that you're available and we'll put that in.
Okay.
Let me just read this one thing from it really quickly. Jesus was explaining, you know, what is our duty? What is our responsibility? How do we respond? And basically, again, not to take the air out of the balloon here, but quote, therefore, this is the first duty of the creature. And this duty is so indispensable and important that she who took to heart all of our glory, our defense, our interests, did nothing but go around through all the spheres, from the smallest to the greatest thing, created by God in order to impress her requital of love. The requital of love, requital, compensation. What do we give back to God? All God wants, but he doesn't want money. He doesn't want time. He doesn't want any acrobats or shows. He wants the love that he's given us to be absorbed into us and given back to him. The caveat is, that's been done for 2,000 years. But now he wants that love absorbed into us, given back to him on the level of him, due to him. And there's only one way that that can be accomplished. And that's if we're fused in his most holy divine will. We're one with God. So the level of love God gives us, we're giving back the equal amount of love because it's his love. That's all we're doing. It's the requital of love in everything around us. I mean, there's a lot more in that passage. So let's schedule something. I think it's really, really great. And again, we don't touch on this much. We touch on, again, for good reasons, of course, what God is giving us. But what is God looking for? I once had a phone call. It's funny. This gentleman was, he was in a rush. He says, okay, so Pete, I help me out here. God's giving us everything. What's in it for him? I mean, what does he want from us? And of course, we know he wants us to love him. He also talks about his paternity. He wants to feel like a father. Feel, that's not a good word. He wants to be the father to us that he is, the paternity of the Holy Trinity. Again, we can incorporate that in that also. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by the I love you. You know, if you take it in our secular world, it's like every time we receive something from our parents, we say thank you. Isn't that a normal response? Thank you, mommy. Thank you, daddy. Not to say thank you, or even worse, to those who are introduced to this divine will and reject it, it's like God giving us, it's like somebody giving you a present on your birthday. And you look at the present and say, no, thank you, keep it, and walk away. How would you as the giver feel? You'd be hurt, right? Not even to accept it, not even curious what's in it. That's what God's doing. We have no reason to reject this. Yeah, we're all not going to get it right away, or maybe we will. I know some people that have gotten it in a very short period of time, and their understanding, their level of understanding is incredible. But it doesn't matter where we are, because wherever we are, as long as we're doing our best, it's where God wants us to be. And sometimes when you're behind others, you're receiving more because, again, God builds, with the divine will, God builds this enormous foundation. Remember, build your house on solid ground. Well, God's forming this incredible foundation because he knows that he's going to put floor after floor after floor after floor on top of it. And he knows if it's not the strongest foundation to be able to support everything he's going to give us, it's going to collapse. So sometimes going back, even if we go back into the early volumes, let's say someone's on volume 19 or they're journeying, you know, sporadically just reading here and there, go back to volume 3, go back to volume 1, go back to volume 6. It's hard reading sometimes because really that was like Luis's initiation. You know, he was really testing her. It was like a bad example of like, you know, when you join a sorority or fraternity, you know, they try to push you, to the limit to where either you quit or you do what they say. I'm not saying it's like that, but I have nothing else to say right now. But he's testing her. He was testing her. He's going to test us in those early volumes. Are we going to give up and say, you know, I don't understand this? Or, you know, he's criticizing the church. He's criticizing that. No, he's setting a foundation. So we can go back to that. And it doesn't matter where we start, the divine will. Start on volume 30 if you want, or 22. Guaranteed, if you do that, we're going to be so excited what we read and what we're understanding to whatever level God wants us to do. We're going to want to read all the volumes, and we will. We have the calendar that Father Celso has put together that if you stay with that, I think, continuously for a year, you are able to read all the passages, the entire 35 volumes, because you can't read volume one, because there's no dates, because volume one was actually volume two, but that's for a different story. So there's a lot of ways we can do it, but don't worry about how you're going to get there. There's many doors, there's many windows to get into this mansion of God. And some will come in through the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. Some will come in through the Hours of the Passion. Some directly from the volumes. Some the letters of Luisa. You know, we talk about the Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa written by the Vatican, published by the Vatican in 2015, which gives the biography of Luisa from a third party. And it's good. It gives us the history of Luisa. It gives us the history of her family. But what's one of the greatest ways, and this is actually the greatest way that Father Annuzzi says, we can learn who is Luisa? What's she about? I want to find out more about who she is, what she is, how she is. It's to read her letters. Because she was writing to people, taking what Jesus and our Blessed Mother gave to her. And she was just like that cog. She was receiving it, digesting it, and now she was giving it. Those letters are beautiful. They're on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. They're in the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. You can find them on other websites as well. But the letters are very important to understand who Luisa is. Because again, we are to emulate Luisa. But we're not expected to suffer like Luisa did. We're not going to be called probably to be in bed for 64 years and not to eat, not to drink, not to get out of bed. It's probably not going to be our calling. But we may have a version of that. We may have a characteristic of that here and there. So no matter what happens, as long as we're not intentionally being sinful, it is fiat. It's like a bumper car. Greatest thing a bumper car can do, besides hit the other car, will be bounce off the wall because it sends you in a different direction. And that's what God's doing in each and every one of our lives. Every time we've had what has not appeared to be good, it's redirected us. In fact, really quickly, I'm really off topic here, sorry. Think about in our lives, one of the worst situations, one of the worst moments in our life, whether it be life-threatening or whatever it was. And then think to yourself, honestly, if God's permissible will did not allow that event to happen in our lives, would we be here today? And I can guarantee the answer is unequivocally, we would not be. Everything had to work exactly the way it did, exactly the way God planned it. And it's so sensitive to that, that think about this is silly, but think about if our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother had cold feet back in 1400-something, and didn't want to meet our great, 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 great granddad that day when they were put together. One didn't show up. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. Everything had to. What if that person got sick? What if that person got hit by a trolley? There's so many what ifs, but everything happened for a reason for us to be here. That's why we were born to be alive at this time. And you have to really believe. I think once we believe that, it's easy for us to say, this is my full-time job. Yes, I have to have other jobs to pay the bills, but this is my full-time job. To know God, to love God, to serve God. And knowing that the best way to serve God is to fuse our will with God. That's our resurrection. That's the true resurrection. It's so beautiful. Sorry about that, Maria. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Therefore, I was waiting for you to have a surprise of love of yours by virtue of my divine volition. In fact, you must know that my life on earth was nothing but suffering, operating and preparing everything that was to serve the kingdom of my divine will, which must be kingdom of happiness and of possession. Therefore, it is then that my works will have their full fruits and will change for me and for creatures into sweetnesses, into joys, and into possession.
Everything that was to serve the kingdom of my divine will. Everything. Our Blessed Lord elaborates on that. Volume 14, September 11, 1922. Just a little excerpt of it. Quote. It's our Blessed Lord speaking. And this volume has the churches of Imprimatur Neil Obstat. They found nothing wrong with this. Quote, therefore, there is Jesus speaking. Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means to let man reach this possession of my divine will. Therefore, neglect nothing of what I want about my divine will, both in writing, with words, and with works. End quote. So this is hard for some people to digest. Everything, creation, redemption, the church, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the graces given to the saints have been seeds. What is a seed? A seed is not destined to stay a seed. A seed is to evolve into something. Even our catechism states there's going to come a point in time when the church with its sacraments will be no longer. Adam did not have the sacraments. Adam did not have the church. He didn't need it. We need it. He didn't need it. That perfect union, that perfect communion, which God is journeying us back through. And the greatest way he's doing it is through his church, through the Holy Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is the divine will for 15 minutes. It's setting us up for the perennial communion. It's giving us a taste. It's creating addicts out of us, addicted to his love, addicted to his divine will. I think that's why it's a mortal sin not to go to church on Sunday, not to receive our blessed Lord. Because unless we receive the Eucharist, we're not getting the taste of the divine will. We're not cultivating. Our palate cannot change. We cannot be transformed. We cannot come into this state of being like P.G. Renzi's explained, the final destination, like in Star Trek, they said, the final destination. Our final evolution, our final transformation, our final transmutation, in essence. You can't make this stuff up. Okay.
Now, while he was saying this, he disappeared from me. But after a little while, he came back inside a little cradle of gold, clothed with a tiny little garment of light. And he added, "My daughter, today is my birthday, and I have come to render you happy with my presence. It would be too hard for me on this day not to render one who lives in my divine will happy, not to give you my first kiss and tell you I love you as a requital of yours, and clasping you tightly to my little heart, make you feel my heartbeats that unleash fire and would want to burn everything which does not belong to my will, while your heartbeat, echoing within mine, repeats for me your pleasant refrain, may your will reign on earth as it does in heaven. Repeat it always if you want to render me happy and calm my baby crying. Look, your love has prepared for me the gold cradle, and the axe in my divine will have prepared for me the little garment of light. Aren't you happy?"
That's the key question. Aren't we happy? We ought to be happy. No matter what's wrong in our lives, we'll be very happy. Repeat it always. May your will reign on earth as it does in heaven. Not to mention, you know, one thing that I neglect to remember frequently, or to even to say it on air, we're talking this gift of the divine will. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. It is the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. That's what Jesus states, that the only prayer Jesus gave to his disciples. It incorporates everything because it ushers back the divine will to each and every one of us. That is incredible. That is incredible. Aren't you happy? That's the key word there. We should be happy. Yeah, of course, we're gonna, yeah. There's never a bad day, but yes, of course, some days are going to be better than other days. But we need to be happy. And I'm sure we'd be happy also if we probably ended the cenacle now, because we're past time and we've got probably 60% more to go. And I don't really want to rush through this, Maureen.
Yeah, it's too beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, some of these passages, you know, when we're doing it, you know, in a collective environment like this, sometimes we may not ever come back to this We might, but I'm not sure if we will. So we need just to make the most, I think, out of what we have and the time we have. So yeah, we're going to pause there, and we'll continue next week where we left off. I'll make a little marking there. And I'm going to end it with a bit of a supplication. And it's something we discussed during today's cycle. It's from volume 17, September 18th, 1924. Quote, "This living in my will is the greatest gift that I want to give to creatures. My goodness wants to pour itself out in love more and more towards my creatures. And now that I have given them everything else and having nothing more to give them so that I may be loved, I want to give them the gift of my will so that possessing it, they shall love the great good that they possess. And don't be surprised if you see that they do not understand. For to understand, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life, even in holy things, to their own will." End quote. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this beautiful gift of the divine will. We are clearly not worthy to receive it. But your word is your command. We bless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we go, I almost forgot. We have with us Sunday, July 24th, Father Iannuzzi, and he'll be with us at... we begin things at 1:30 with adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. Father will be with us at 2:15 to 3:30. If you have a question, he's going to take Q&A for the whole time, which is great. What a great opportunity to ask questions, anything we have. If you have a question, though, that pertains to a particular passage and quote, Father asks if you can submit that to us here at Mary's Hill at queenofthedivinewill.org. By Saturday evening, let's say 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, I can get over the Father. That way he doesn't have to take time in bringing up the volumes to read exactly the text of it, because there are different translations out there. So if you have a question that pertains to a specific quote or passage, please send us an email with that passage or that quote. We'll get it off to Father, and he'll address that first. If it's another question, you can still email it to us, or you can just have the opportunity to ask him the question live during the cenacle on Sunday. Last but not least, next Wednesday, you know, we know Father Celso is with a limited schedule this summer, and he's sort of recharging the batteries, well-deserved, of course, but he's going to be on this a program called What the World Needs Now. And what does the world need now? It needs love, and it needs the divine will. And so it's hosted by Ken Johnson. Ken has been kind enough to invite me back with him. It's an introduction to the gift of the divine will. And our special guest that day on air will be Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso. And you can listen live on AM radio, WTMR 800, or inhissign.com. You can listen to it live. And if you can't listen to it live, it is recorded, and we'll send you the update when the upload happens. But again, if you want to get a little bit of a, if you have Father Celso withdrawals like we all do, you may want to tune in on Wednesday. But tomorrow, oh no, Sunday, we have Father Celso. Father, I need some rest.
You need a secretary, Peter.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot.
No, she quit, or he quit. Oh. Forget it. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm getting good
That's right.
At
God
it.
God does. God does.
Oh, gosh, I know. Thanks be to God for everything. And we thank Maureen for being here. And
thank you.
Thank you for all our fiats collectively and individually. And hope to see everybody on Sunday with Father Iannuzzi. Okay. Love everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.